Hi, HR Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives from the world's leading global brands. Today we have a special show. We're in the studio. We have two guests. I'm super excited for this one. We're joined by Teresa Proctor, who's a former Chief People Officer, Global Board Advisor, and Senior Consultant at OrgShakers, and Vivek Patni, CEO and co-founder at Wema. Welcome. How are you both?
Thank you. Great. Thank you. And it's so nice to be here in your studio.
Thanks for joining. It's actually pretty surreal seeing people. Why is it weird to see people in person now? Almost like we've been living in the sort of, well, I must say the metaverse at this point for so long, but it's great to see
you. Yeah, but that social anxiety, don't you? Yeah. Like, oh God, I have to go into the studio.
It's the opposite. Yeah. Before we jump in, tell everyone a little bit more about each of yourselves personally and your journey and also how you met. We'll start with you, Teresa.
So, Teresa Proctor, I've been 35 years as a HR professional, but I'm UK-based. My role with OrgShakers is international, and I've got two fantastic daughters, Shannon and Tara. I guess for me, throughout my career, my role has always been about helping people to be the best they can be and identifying any barriers within the workplace and putting solutions in place for that. So a deep understanding, I think, of what matters to people. Some people say I'm a bit of a shaker-upper, quite provocative. I'm quite curious about what makes people tick. And for that, I think it's helped with some of the solutions that we've been able to identify and give people great opportunities. I've also got a really deep respect for the role that tech can play in helping us in HR with solutions to enhance people's lives. And that's how I met Vivek. Vivek and his family have got a deep history in fintech. And more recently, that focus has changed to social tech, and really excited about the product that they've got and how it can help. Vivek, I don't know if you want to talk a bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so Vivek Patni, I'm the CEO of Wema. My journey started actually not technically in social care. I was in Deloitte for a short time where I was working kind of in the corporate world. Literally after about 8 months, so I realized it probably wasn't the route I wanted to go down.
I'm going to say anything mean about Deloitte at that point. So after 8 months, you're like, that's enough.
No, it was a fantastic company. It was the role I was doing, and I knew I always wanted to start my own business. And we had been in talks for a good 4 or 5 years about what it was going to be. And this was with my parents, actually, because I had personally been a carer for my granddad for about 10 years. I was his primary carer, and then you get other family members getting into that mix, like grandma, their sisters, their siblings, their cousins. Everyone else starts getting on well when they get to that generation. And we were having to manage the care for all of them. And it got to a point where myself, my mum and my dad said, actually, why don't we try and make a change in this space? Because one, the technology was near to nothing. It was very legacy based, if anything at all. But also the accessibility to the services that we wanted were just not there. And especially, you can imagine, with a family like ours and my granddad being Gujarati, we wanted to find people that would understand him, speak his language, understand his culture, make him feel as comfortable as possible. And we just found that a really challenging task. So that's where the idea around Wema came, the business model came around that. It's then all about improving the accessibility to social care, which is now framing its way within the working carer challenge in the corporate world.
Amazing. And how did you meet?
Oh, so we ended up meeting. Actually, a lady that works for us called Wendy is very close friends with Teresa. And Wendy said, oh, I know this amazing person, Teresa. I need to connect you guys. And we ended up connecting through the OrgShakers link as well. And since then, we've actually been working with OrgShakers, fantastic in terms of data management, research-based kind of lead generation, and actually just supporting us on business development generally. Amazing. So we've been working closely with Teresa and Andy and everyone else at the team.
So it's meant to be.
It was.
I think so. It's been a fantastic relationship.
That's the thing, you know, chance meetings and people that you know. That's how it all works. And when you can connect on a purpose, and age to me really matters. You know, not just because I'm aging, but
you age yourself early. You was like 35 years. Yeah. People were there were doing the maths.
I know. But you know, age can be quite a taboo topic, and it really matters to me because I think that there are so many benefits that you can get out of an older worker. And I think that in the past, well, look, you know, not that long ago, before lockdown, I was in McDonald's, and it was in Oxford Street. It was really busy on the high street. I got into McDonald's and something just struck me for the first time. I kind of looked around, and all the people that would normally be serving food, preparing food, serving at tables, hosting tables, were older. Now they were people
they are older.
Like me, or older. Yeah.
Oh, really? I never noticed that.
We'll notice it, and it got me thinking about other services that I use, and obviously being a Tesco loyal. In my local Tesco, Joy is a woman.
Oh, well, I've got stories to tell you after this.
All right. Well, there's a lady called Joy. Joy has worked for Tesco for 42 years.
Wow.
Her youngest child is the same age as my eldest daughter, Shannon. And she's not ready to retire.
Mm.
You know, she's a familiar face. It also got me then thinking about, well, in corporate life, we, as many of the HR professionals tuning in today will appreciate, we went through a whole generation of looking at policies and processes and procedures that were for younger workers.
Yeah.
So we looked at things like childcare, IVF, adoption policies, childcare vouchers, whatever it might have been. But we did all of that to support younger people in the workplace. I don't think I can remember one policy that I ever looked at that was for a more mature worker.
If they did have them, you didn't even know about it, like you said.
Absolutely not. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. We should celebrate it because it happened on our watch. And we made some incredible changes that have helped people in society. But we have to now change our focus. It's got to be in the mindset of HR directors, CEOs, finance directors, in order to be able to bring in solutions to keep older people at work for longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
think the awareness of it, though, over the last year has just massively increased. I mean, your point on not knowing or realizing that people in McDonald's are somewhat older sometimes, I mean, you don't really recognize it until someone tells you, and then you kind of go out and you see, and then you're like, oh God, actually, yeah, everyone is quite diverse in terms of age, and you don't just think it's a young worker in those organizations. So I think once that awareness starts building, people start recognizing actually what changes need to be implemented, especially from an HR point of view, and definitely after COVID. You'll see that there's such a difficulty in retention of workforce. There's difficulty in bringing in new kind of experienced talent. And you've got people in your organization that are actually fulfilling those roles already. Why can't we try and find ways to keep them in that organization
Absolutely.
Too? So it becomes so important for businesses like Tesco's or Sainsbury's or any other retailers or any organization really to think about actually what skills do they have currently in their workforce and how can they retain it and even train it even further to grow those skills. Because at the end of the day, they're the people that know everything best and they're going to train the junior staff as well. So,
And you know, for the first time ever in history, one in three people in the workforce are over 50.
Yeah.
Really?
Now that is absolutely shocking, but one in three are over 50 for the first time ever.
Wow.
Yeah. And one in four are acting as carers.
Exactly,
across the entire UK workforce. So actually, it's such a huge demographic of people within that space that they're struggling, essentially, or don't have services available to them.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, so that one, when we was thinking about this, you coming in today, it made me think of someone who works in my local Tesco. So there's a woman called Rose, and she's been there over 40 years.
That's true.
And everyone calls her Auntie Rose. Even my three-year-old daughter goes, can we go Tesco? And then she runs in and says, where's Auntie Rose? Right. That's sweet. Everyone knows her. Everyone, like, she knows, she remembers your name, she knows, she's like, how's Robin, oh, isn't her birthday coming up, Chris? She remembers everything, and I'm telling you, every time I go in that store, I leave with a smile.
Isn't that so, like, nice though?
And when she's not there, everyone goes, where is, like, she's been off sick recently, I hope she's all right. And everyone, even my daughter cried,
really,
because Rose wasn't in the shop, because she always loves, she would always come out from behind the counter and make time for everyone. Like, but
I think it's wonderful that somebody like Rose can be the face of Tesco. It's not the brand above the door, it's Rose. And there's a woman that I know, my friend Debbie Pisani, her mother-in-law worked at Harrods one day a week, 95, and she only has just retired.
Wow.
But how wonderful Incredible. That Harrods
everyone,
kept her there.
I bet everyone knew her.
And you know, the benefits, she said that all the young people that work there love her. But we know the benefits of having an older worker or a more mature worker. The opportunities and the benefits are fantastic.
Yeah.
So you get better retention. You know, you get a person that's happy to coach and mentor. You learn things from an older person. So that manners, that interaction, that way that they can just talk to a child, you know, lovingly, people absorb that, pick that up. And if it's nice behaviours, they'll want to do that themselves. Mm-hmm. So the benefits are so great for having older workers in the workplace.
Yeah,
it's kind of the indirect benefits, isn't it? It's that person becomes the face of a brand.
It's almost like you can't measure what Rose brings.
Exactly. No. And actually, they're part of the community at the end of the day. So it's not even just about the corporate in that sense.
It's across the road, literally.
It's about that. Auntie Rose is a part of the community that everyone knows. And actually, in that situation, she's representing Tesco's.
Yeah.
One thing I would say that I do want to bring up is I remember one time it kind of broke my heart in a way where she was speaking to me. She knows I work in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And she said, if you know anyone at Tesco, like, can you speak to him? Like, she doesn't feel valued. That really upset me. Like, genuinely, I was like, oh man. Like, she was like tearful when she said that. That's gonna make me upset. I'm gonna cry on the bloody podcast. Oh, but I remember her saying, I was like, you put 40 years of your life in here. Yeah. And she said that to me one time. And I was just like, she didn't even get a message for her anniversary. Like or anything Chris, like that. And I was just like,
give me Rose's details.
I'm gonna do it.
I don't work there anymore, but I'm telling you, I will get it into the hands. And the thing of the is, right
she
person.
I do have it. She wrote it on a bit of piece of paper. She wrote on a receipt her details for me. Because I was like, what's your last name? Because obviously I know her as Auntie Rose. I don't know her name. I have that at home. I haven't I feel guilty that I haven't done anything about it because I was gonna I had this crazy idea, I never ended up doing it. It was I was gonna interview her. And actually doing an interview.
We should have had her here today. Cool.
She's actually off sick at home, so I hope she's all right. I was going to interview her and post it on LinkedIn and tagging all the execs at Tesco. That was my idea. That was my plan to be like, how is this person who goes way above and beyond not feel valued? And I was like, man, like if I'd worked in a company for 40 years and didn't even get, a message to say a happy 40th anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right, that must be, anyway, so I just wanted to bring it up while we're on the topic.
Chris, send me her details and I promise you I'll get it into the hands of the UK CEO and we'll get a message from Rose and make sure she's okay.
That'll mean a lot, honestly.
No, I'll do that. I promise you I'll do that.
So what are the barriers then? What are the barriers to getting the best from midlife workers?
There's a couple of things to be aware of. You've got people that are living longer and that's a good thing. Right, it's a great thing because we're living healthier lives. So therefore, we're available to work for a lot longer. At the turn of the last century, 47 would have been our life expectancy. The fact that we are at the end of 47? This century... 47, I wouldn't be here and you two would be classed as old, I'm afraid. I'm telling you this because at the end of this century, we'll be living to 100. Mm. So that's fantastic. But the other thing to bear in mind is that the workforce is also shrinking. So since the 70s, the amount of children that are being born has decreased. So less than 2 per year. And in fact, in October 2021, the amount of children that were born has been the least since records began. So therefore, that is over time going to have an impact on our economy and on businesses. So the only way to make sure that we keep things going in the way that we want to is to improve productivity. In order to improve productivity, we've got to understand what gets in the way. And as I said, older workers, mature workers, there's a taboo topic around them. And for me, we've looked at this quite extensively over the last year or so, and I think there's three big barriers. The first is the biological changes that people go through. Now, we'll come on to it in a second, but a lot has been said about menopause. But andropause is just as important. Andropause is the equivalent of the female menopause. It starts with a decline in testosterone. If a woman goes through 34 symptoms, any one of those 34, a man can go through 17 of those 34. And yet, it's not spoken about.
I've never heard anyone speak about that before.
Never spoken about, but it's an important one. So biological changes is the first one. The second barrier is just about career opportunities and career development. I'm guilty. I know I've sat in talent conversations and spoke about people and said, maybe they're too old. Are they a blocker? We need to get fresh talent coming through without really thinking, what does this person bring? Why don't we promote people in their 50s? Why do we have a mental block when we see a person of a certain age? I was guilty of it.
We all have that bias.
Past it. Yeah, we have that bias. And of course, the third one, which Vivek talks really eloquently about, is working carers. And there are, one in four people, we all know that looking after children.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
You know, we make provisions, we do all of the types of things that we do, but suddenly, when you want to talk about the fact that you're looking after an older parent or a relative or a person with disabilities, all of a sudden it becomes a bit taboo and you try and cover it up. And we know that if you cover up anything in the workplace, you know, your gender, your sexuality, you know, the fact that you domestic violence, anything that you cover, 30% of your productivity is lost at the door. So if you're spending time at work having to try and research home care, research facilities that you can use for a loved one, you are wasting 30% of your time because you're covering. And if an organisation isn't open to that, then you're going to lie or leave.
I think the interesting thing on the work.
Can I touch on that a second?
Yeah, no, please.
Shane, do you mind me sharing your story? So I just wanted to ask if everyone listening, my co-founder's in the background. Mm. So my co-founder, Shane, his granddad, they just had to get care. And it's actually, I'm not going to go into all the details, but it actually has led to Shane's mum leaving her job because they weren't understanding about the time. And after how many years, Shane? 27 years of service in that company. And they made it so difficult for her to make the time to take care of her dad, right? Yeah. And that she left the business after that many years. And I just stressed that I saw Shane and his family go through you know, juggling it between them. You know, one weekend Shane's there, next his dad, etc. And it was so shocking to see the lack of support.
It's sad. And Shane, I'm really sorry to hear that. You know, Vivek, that's exactly why we've been looking at what are the solutions to try and remove these barriers and create better opportunities for people to stay at work. And you've got, I mean, those stats that you've got around, say we took, well, talk to Chris, say we take retail and professional services. What does that mean if you've got a couple of thousand people that work in your organisation?
Yeah, the stats are crazy. I think also just to touch on Shane, it is a really difficult situation and I'm dealing with so many people who are actually going through something really similar. And it's crazy to think that at that stage of your career, the organization you work for is still unwilling to support you in whatever way possible.
Yeah.
Especially after everything we've just gone through for the last 2 years, which is even harder. But no, in terms of the stats, so you can kind of consider retail as being one end of the stick and professional service being something completely different. But for retail, so your example was at 2000, if you think of an average salary in those organizations, maybe being about 21K or so. With that, you've got about one in five employees that will be acting as a working carer. So maybe about 400 of those people are acting as working carers. You'll probably get on average about 300 people who will actually take a career break for some kind of reason. Whether that is a short-term career break, just to support in the couple of weeks that you need to support your family, and maybe that's unpaid, or actually on average, even people are taking significantly longer career breaks and not even going back to the same organization. So I think the stats that we've found with OrgShakers is that 45% of people taking a career break won't even return to the same organization. And the length of that career break will be about 380 days. That's over a year that they're actually taking out of work. Because you can imagine, just in Shane's example, or very common to everyone, is the minute you start getting involved in family care, the complications don't get easier over time. So exactly the same with my own granddad is we got involved in his care. We had to understand exactly everything. We had to take so much time out of our own lives to figure all that stuff out. And then 3 months later, something else happened. Maybe you got a liver issue or a kidney issue, and then you had to go back to hospital, and then he comes out with completely different complications. So you have to keep learning constantly all these different things. So it becomes really difficult. And that, even just on that career break, the amount that's costing an organization of the 2,000 employees is about 300K annually of recruitment, retention costs, training costs, everything else.
And the knowledge that goes out the door, right? Especially
the knowledge goes out the door.
The knowledge, the network, everything, the experience.
It's hidden.
Yeah.
Because one person putting in for a career break to say, well, I need to care for my loved one or wherever it might be, or I need to leave, it's kind of accepted. And yet if a young person was saying, I need to leave because I need to go through an adoption cycle, we would be doing everything as HR professionals to try and keep them in work.
Well, you can consider it as kind of two waves that everyone, almost everyone, will go through in their working career. So you've got wave one, which is some kind of childcare need.
Yes,
and that's maybe where they're a younger worker between the ages of, I don't know, 25 to 40. They're going to be going through some kind of childcare support need. And businesses are really well set up for that. You're going to get childcare support. You might get even IVF treatment support. Yeah. There's so many businesses introducing that at the moment. Things around kind of maternity cover, paternity cover, all of that's already there in place. And then you've got wave two, which is going to happen between maybe the ages of 40 to 60 or even a bit older, where you're going to have some kind of elderly care support challenges. So exactly in Shane's situation, in my situation, in so many people's situation, at that age is really when, okay, mum's becoming a bit unwell or granddad is becoming unwell or someone in the family has become unwell, maybe for the first time. And that second wave, actually, almost everyone is going to go through that at some point, more so than just the childcare, because you can say less people are having kids at the moment, but everyone's got elderly parents that are going to go through that. So it becomes so important. So that's your third point and the third challenge to your question is really actually the services that are available to people at that time in their lives and how businesses are supporting them with that. Because really at the moment, like you say, even when working at Tesco, there was very limited support at that age. And there was limited desire to even do your best to keep those people in the business. So I think that's where those things are now changing, and businesses have to make that change.
Yeah. What's currently in place? What's the current approach that companies take?
You know, it's so limited. So honestly, if I'm going to be completely honest, there's almost nothing.
There's nothing. Really? Yeah.
You're going to get kind of your EAP support, which is going to give you some kind of counseling maybe, or some signposting for elderly care services. You're going to have your private medical insurance. Again, they'll give you some signposting to kind of services like that. But there's nothing actually helping you directly through that journey to say, look, employee A, you need to look at XYZ services. Here's a list of service providers. Here's what you need to do. Here, we can help you do that. Here, we'll support you on your contractual negotiations, all of that kind of journey. There's nothing really doing that. And that's really what we're trying to implement.
Seems crazy, doesn't it? Considering we're all going to go through it at some point.
Everyone is.
It's probably one of the most challenging times in our lives.
And the conversations I have with the employees, actually, is that their biggest burden is that they're so stressed by these challenges because they're dealing with mum or dad or grandparents who are so vulnerable, and they've got this huge stress in their mind. So your point on 30% lack of productivity for people covering, I think for these situations, it's even more.
Because they
themselves become depressed or anxious or stressed, and they have their own mental health challenges. And that's why I think from a services point of view, the angle that things need to change is that there needs to be services in place that are actually dealing with the root causes of the challenges that are there. So there's no point saying to employee A, look, you're stressed, you're whatever, here's just the counselor, go and talk to them. Because that counselor is not going to they're not going to support you on your sourcing of care providers for mum. They're going to say, oh, think about doing this differently, and there you go, that's your support.
I think the role of the line manager becomes more important than ever. I mean, we've talked a lot, you do a huge amount on the podcasts around, you know, the line manager, the role they play. For me, it's the most critical
100%
role in the organisation, because if you've got, I'm an older worker. If I had a younger person who was my boss or supervisor or whatever you call it in your organisation, and I was going through symptoms that were causing me, you know, pain through menopause, if they're not comfortable in being able to talk about it, then it's a subject that never gets spoken about.
Yeah.
Equally, if I'm a female and I've got a male person going through an andropause, well, one, they might not even know they're going through it because it's not spoken about. Mm-hmm. But if you've got 17 of those 34 symptoms, who's helping you? Mm-hmm. So unless HR professionals really understand those barriers to productivity for older people and start really getting into the root cause of what they are and how you can help, we're never ever going to improve productivity, and we're not going to keep this really fastest growing demographic in work.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Vivek's touched on it, the amount of, or the lack of one, education around it, and two, information that's available. Even if I was trying to navigate for my parents, and they're 83, but if I'm trying to navigate help for them, it's very, very difficult to get into the social space and look for help and care and support. So when you come across, and that's why I was so excited about meeting Vivek and his family, when you come across a product that you can lift and shift and say, this is actually a really brilliant HR solution that helps within the workplace, I want to see more and more of them.
Yeah.
You know, I get excited when I see tech solutions that help us in the personnel space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. But we need to see more of it. And I think yours is, you know, yours is fantastic, but we need to raise awareness of those types of things that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And we need HR professionals to stop having a blind spot. Because I know from talking recently to HR professionals about these barriers to mature workers, each one of my friends that HR professionals have said, it's a bit of a blind spot, I'm not doing anything on it. But now
is that what it is? Are we just turning a blind eye? Is that, do you think that's what's happening?
I think it is. It's a blind spot. I think, like your point about going into McDonald's and not appreciating that the demographic is older. Yeah. You know, or Tesco, you know, you've got Rose, you've got Joy, over 40 years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
They're older workers, but we've grown up with them.
You can't always take, you probably take it for granted.
Exactly.
Until they're gone, right? Or they've left. Yeah. Then you're like, oh, wow. Then,
listen, I've got older. And I still don't see myself as old, but I am. So we've all got a blind spot when it comes to.
I think the reason there's also that blind spot there is because the employers just don't actually know what it's costing their business. So to them, it's an issue and it's there and they're kind of aware of it.
They can't measure it, really.
Yeah, they have no way to measure things. And half the conversations I have with new businesses that we're trying to bring our services into, their first thing is, I have no idea what the challenge is. I've got a story of one employee that's come to me and asked me for time off work to look after mum, but I don't know more than that because either we don't have the resources to start tracking all of those metrics, or we've just not had the inkling to do it anyway.
Or the conversations, because we can't blame our managers because they've never been trained to have these type of conversations.
No, and they might not even be aware. I mean, that's
exactly.
Why
I've been guilty of that, by the way. I had someone on my team that was on, I was like, what, 22, 23, and she was in her 50s. And
careful.
I remember
careful, Chris. What? Careful.
Am I getting in trouble? No. I just realized what you're saying that now. No, and I remember getting called into the HR. By the HR team, and I was like, oh no, what, I'm in trouble now. HR calls you up, you're normally in trouble, right? That was the perspective back in the day. Probably a lot of people thinking that, that's still the perspective. But I remember being told that Karen was upset at the way that some of the language was using on the team, some of the things that were saying. She felt that it was, you know, we was kind of not in being inclusive of her and all loads of it. And I was like, obviously, like, what?
Yeah.
But when I was told, like, just the type of language we're using on the team and even some of the activities we'd use for like team incentives was like very sporty and active and let's go and do these crazy things. It was I'm not even thinking about her, right? And I was completely oblivious. All those things, or her taking time off for health issues. Yeah. I wasn't understanding of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand. I just didn't know.
It was just that you were ignorant to it. It wasn't that you were actually consciously excluding her. I think ageism is the last prejudice. You look at things like credit. You can't buy things if you're over a certain age.
Really?
Credit is looked at.
Oh, because
You know, you look at travel insurance.
Yeah.
You know, since my parents were over 80, so expensive. Like, they can't drive abroad, and yet they can drive in the UK.
Yeah.
So there's so many things that are barriers to people of age.
Yeah.
That, you know, it is just turning it on its head and saying, well, why is that? We need to understand, we need to appreciate, and then remove those barriers.
But it has to come from top down at the end of the day, because they need to be implementing all the policies and guidance in place to actually support managers and line managers.
Yeah.
Because even one of the companies we were working with, when we launched to them as a company, I had, after our kind of launch webinar and present, it wasn't a webinar, it was actually in person, a workshop that we had run, I had two employees come up to me after the workshop and say, one of them was like, I'm dealing with family care issues for my dad and it's really, really difficult. I'm having to take time out of work, but my manager's making me make all of that time back. And the other was saying,
You don't need that stress.
And so the other was saying, I'm doing the same thing for my mom. I'm taking loads of time out of work. And actually, I don't have to make any of that time back. So within different departments in that organization, in the same company, So line managers didn't have a kind of a cohesive strategy to support.
So they're like, I'm probably going to have to make them work.
And that's where they've never been told by top level to say, look, if this is a problem, this is how you need to deal with it. This is our policy. If it's something that is maybe over 10 days of time, then you have to start making it back, but have a bit of that flexibility.
We've started to talk about costs. You know, like you said, for 2,000 people in retail, it could be costing that organisation somewhere between 400,000 and 500,000. Yeah. In financial services, professional services, we know the amount of carers is closer to 1 in 7 or 1 in 8. But you've still got a demographic of people that are looking after carers. That's going to be a cost of over £500,000 plus. Yeah,
because the salary is so much higher.
Yeah, and we've created a model now that can actually help measure how many people you've got in your organisation, what sector you're in, and what's the likelihood of the numbers of people that you're going to have that are caught up with this caring issue. When you start to understand the impact on your business, that's when the light bulb goes on and you say, actually, if that's the cost, I need to do something about it. But while it's hidden, like, you know, Janet might be able to do hers and she gets cover from her line manager, but John doesn't get any cover.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whilst you've got those inconsistencies and it's not talked about, you've got no idea what the cost of the organisation is at all.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had one of my employees, he had gone to the Mad World conference a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago now. And they had these roundtable events and he was really excited because one of the roundtables was about working carers. And he was like, oh God, finally someone's talking about it. Yeah. And he's super passionate about what we do, which is fantastic because he's had these experiences before and that's why he's joined us as a company. But he sat down at the roundtable for working carers with the person who was chairing it. He was the only person that sat at that table. Not a single person joined him on that table.
Wow, that says something.
And
I wish he would take a photo and just like...
Yeah, just like, here, this is us.
And this is...
To him, it was absolutely outrageous because all the other tables were completely filled. Everything was filled with all the other common challenges that everyone's doing, mental health, etc., all of that kind of stuff.
One of the biggest events in the space.
Not a single person sat with him. And he was like, I was just sat there for an hour talking to the chair instead because she was really interested by the topic. But even I think her was...
You mean the chair of the table, not HR?
The chair of the table, yeah. Not
can you imagine? I was sat there in the chair for an hour. And
But that shows that it's taboo or it's seen as a topic.
People don't even want to associate. Exactly. They don't want to be at the table because they're like, I don't want to be in a position where someone asks me a question and I'm like, I don't know
what to do. No. Exactly.
Probably why we're not talking about it because people don't want to bring up something and not have an answer. So we basically avoid it because we don't have a solution for it. What about is the lack of development opportunities, is that a challenge as well?
I think it is. I come back to the point I made earlier about when you are talent spotting and you're doing your succession
you just
planning,
don't even consider that group.
It's more likely that you oversee the people that are good at what they do, they're great at how they do it. Round peg, round hole, let's not upset the apple cart, let's keep them where they are, when actually people can keep developing at every age.
Rose was like Auntie Rose was like ahead of one of the Tesco customer service teams, like leading one of those and dealing with customers. It'd be amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, amazing.
And there is nothing to stop anyone developing at any age. I mean, look, Joe Biden, you know, the age he was when he took over one of the biggest jobs on the planet. Bill Gates at 91. Mm-hmm. Oh, not Bill Gates at 91, but Warren Buffett at 91 is still seen to be a leading brain in finance. Yeah. Bill Gates, 65, business guru. You know, the list goes on of mature people that bring something to it. I was talking to a psychologist a few days ago. She's a leading author in her field. She has done a huge amount in terms of occupational behaviours. She only qualified when she'd retired. And she's a leading author in her field.
But she's full of energy, full of passion. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you seen that change, though, recently in terms of on the back of COVID, actually people wanting to try and keep their kind of aged workers more so? Have you noticed anything from your background?
I think what we've seen, particularly in females, which might tie into to working carers, is post furlough, we saw 500,000 women not come back into the workplace.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's still to be understood as to why that might be. but it's considered that they were mature workers.
Yeah.
Now, whether they've gone to be carers or they've retired, I mean, I know four of my friends through the start of the pandemic to the end of the last lockdown took the decision not to return to work.
Yeah.
Now, I know that those four people have still got a huge amount to be able to offer, but they've taken themselves out of the workplace. You know, and I think it's really sad because, you know, if we look at the pension age, which is creeping up all the time, if you're 45 and you've started to be a carer, a voluntary carer, you've got a long way to go till you get a pension at 67, 68. Yeah. And actually, women do live longer than men and should be putting into a pension scheme for at least 7 years longer or more than a man.
I didn't know that.
Well, you don't know that until you're reaching retirement age and then you think, oh, I should have put a bit more in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
All of these things are topics that if the HR community was to sit down and say, let's put a lens. Look, we've started to do it with diversity inclusion.
Yeah.
We've started to look at policies, processes and practices and say, if we put a diversity lens over this, do we need to change policies? Yeah. We need to do exactly the same with mature workers. And say, as a result of that, what's the spectrum? You know, what are all the opportunities and how can we enhance productivity by doing a bit more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think businesses can tend to get caught in kind of the bubble of what the mainstream chatter is. So when people are talking diversity and inclusion, you're talking gender, you're talking sexuality, you're talking those kind of issues.
Yeah.
However, you're not talking age diversity. No one really associates it to that. And there's such a huge challenge there because actually, you are going to have a diverse and age diverse workforce as well. So it's exactly that point again. So all the D&I officers that are coming in, that should be top of mind as well as to what are they doing to support those challenges as well as all the other diversity challenges that are being.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to ask you the last question of what advice would you give HR leaders, but you both just pretty much covered it there. Yeah. Anything else you want to add to that in terms of, you know, this is the message now to HR leaders out there, what can they do to support?
For me, have a look at your strategy. If it's not on there, really think hard about putting it on there. Think about the stats that we've said, the hidden costs of what you've got if you've got a mature workforce, because if they are not given the support, they will either lie to you or leave you.
That's true. Yeah, I would say the same in terms of strategy and also kind of being open-minded to think about those solutions and those challenges that are within your organization and actually in a way take them as an opportunity, because if you can find ways to support that diverse workforce that you have, you're going to open up a huge range of productivity within your organization. Your business output's going to massively improve. You're going to have people that are so well kind of experienced in what you do, so you're going to see kind of training and everything else and recruitment, retention, every aspect of that organization improve over time because you have such a wealth of knowledge that sits within your business. So I think take it as an opportunity, think openly and just consider what solutions may be available for you.
Yeah.
And those people, they'll remember that you know, how companies supported them for a time or didn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the ones that do support them, you'll have a loyal employee for a very long time, right? Yeah. As well, and unfortunately, we've shared Shane's journey. People that have been in their careers for many, many years were just forced to do it, whether they liked it or not, because they had to. Then you're going to choose your family.
You know what?
You shouldn't have to ever make that choice.
No.
There's a Shane in every organization. You know, there is someone like Shane's mum in every organization needing support. You know, unfortunately, there's a person like Rose in every organization that's been around and perhaps a bit forgotten. And I think anything that we can do to make people feel that they're at the best they can be, surely that's the greatest gift any one of us can give.
I agree. Before I let you go, where can people connect with you and learn more?
LinkedIn, definitely. I'll unashamedly give the LinkedIn blog. My number and exactly the same for Vivek.
Yeah, you know? LinkedIn. You can check our website out, wearewema.com. That's where actually the cost calculator is hosted as well that we've worked with OrgShakers on. So if you want to find out what the working carer challenges within your business, the cost of your company, the cost of career, employees taking career breaks, you can take a look at that website.
And it's a really, really simple tool to use.
Yeah.
So yeah, LinkedIn for our emails, our contact details, and OrgShakers and Wema.
Yeah. Amazing. And as always, everyone listening, those links are already below. So go check them out now. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure and important work that you're both doing, and I'm really excited. I almost feel like when we first spoke, the fact that we've done over 400 episodes with CHROs all over the world, I mean, this has never come up in a conversation. It's pretty sad. Yeah. I'm glad we're having this conversation now.
For sure.
And I'm excited for the impact it's going to have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Yeah. Thanks.